Blog Talk Radio.
Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in the relationships with each other. Well, Nicole, we took our week off last week. You know, he just happened to email me, and you had plans that you forgot about, and my day was so hectic that I said, normally I could kind of man the ship without Nicole, but it was one of those days I was like, I would have been a sinking Titanic.
Actually, I hadn't spent a lot of time with my dad or my stepmom. I mean, so much to the point of, like, when we see each other in such spurts and so sporadically and not even for any lengthy period of time, he still has my Christmas and my birthday presents from Christmas of 2010.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So we did not see each other for the holidays. We saw each other very, very briefly, just in passing, you know, a couple of times. But that was basically it because, you know, let's face it, I was so busy. He was busy. You know, he was changing careers. I was, you know, launching the stores and everything else. So, you know, we hadn't spent any significant time together. So what wound up happening was the Thursday prior, after our last show, you know, he was like, listen, he goes, I'd love to get together. The only time I really have to have, though, is next Thursday. Can you swing? And I'm like, you know what? I'm sure Cindy won't mind. I'll tell Cindy, and, you know, maybe we'll just take a week off. I'll see if she can man the ship without me. But things got so crazy and so hectic once again that I'm sending you this ninth hour just horrible, horrible. Yeah, Cindy, I gotta bail on you, and I'm giving you, 7 hours to process this. So,
but what I thought was really astute of you, by the time I didn't get back to it, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and you're going, but you didn't send the, you know, the constant contact reminder of the show. And I said, because I didn't even have time to do it.
was there even a show tonight? Because I look for those emails, because sometimes you do have things coming up, you know, and sometimes I'll learn about your things coming up, or I'll learn about a cancellation, you know, through your email. So I'm like, I didn't see the email. I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, we didn't get the, nobody got an email. I can't do the show. My father's gonna be waiting at the restaurant. What am I gonna do? And then finally, you know, you got back to me or whatever, and it
well,
all worked out.
Well, that's because
I didn't
even have time to pick up my phone all day. Because the readings, I've been doing so many readings that people have just, you know, and everybody keeps saying, squeeze me, and I'm like, there's only so many hours in a day, so, you know, squeezing in is like, you know, eating lunch on the run, dinner on the run, and maybe breakfast if there's any luck at all.
Squeeze in there, too, so.
Right, so it just was one of those days. Now, everyone's been asking, I got a lot of emails today, how you're feeling after your car accident. People are just
I'm feeling
concerned.
Okay, you know, but, you know, I'm nothing was broken, thank God. You know, I mean, obviously I'm bumped and I'm bruised, whatever. I'm still having some issues. But you know what, like I keep telling everybody, because I could complain about it all I want. It's not going to change anything if I complain about it, you know. But basically it could have been a lot worse, you know. I did not necessarily have to walk away from that accident. I could have been hospitalized, you know, for a very lengthy period of time because of the accident. And a lot of people were surprised that I had you know, as little injuries as I did, you know, even though the injuries that I do have suck and they take a long time to heal, it's better than the alternative. So,
right,
you know, I'm doing
course.
Well. I keep a very positive attitude. And, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, figure out what my next move is, because, you know, I can't exactly work in my condition. I can't exactly do a lot of things in my condition. And, you know, it's not easy to have to go without after, you know, after working as hard as I have been. But you know what? This is the universe's way of saying maybe I just need to sit back and relax and reflect and you know, not have anything on my mind. So I'm just trying to
slow it down. Sometimes when we're chicken without the head kind of people, where we run around, we have to solve everything immediately. Sometimes we put Band-Aids on carcinomas. Our choices aren't the best. It kind of just appeases us today. So a little slowing down and looking where you're going to go in your career is important too. And if you even think you are on the right path, or do you have another path? So those answers are going to come. So your spirit guides aren't worried about you, Nicole. You're going to be just fine.
Awesome.
Now, I can see we have a lot of callers, and I know we don't get to screen the first one, and they have been waiting a long time.
The longest.
Yes. It's a 313 right. number. I don't know where that's from. I don't have a clue.
I don't know where that's from, but they've been holding the longest, so just so you know that we're identifying you, the last four digits are going to be 7675. So let's see who we've got waiting for us. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, my name's Mike, and I'm calling from Michigan.
Okay, that's a good one, because we haven't had many Michigan. I just happened to watch a movie, and it was set at the University of Michigan the other day. So I figured that would bring a Michigan caller in here. You know,
I'm just in the northwest suburbs of Detroit. So.
Okay, great. Now, for every man we get, we usually get like 20 women callers, so we're always glad to get a man here. So they have to be braver. They're brave men, you know.
Exactly. Well, I've got a quick question, if that's
sure.
All right. I've got a new business for about five to six months or so, and things are really progressing pretty well. But I'm in the financial world in regards to commercial finance, and I've been trying to buckle down and study for a financial license that I think I may need, but I'm just kind of getting, you know, things will pop up with work and everything like that. Is that truly needed for me right now?
Okay. Again, you probably called the right psychic, because my ex-husband had every license that could run the SEC, you know, because he was very good at test taking. I mean, for him to take a test, he just aced everything, you know. And
licenses
are always good to have. And again, first of all, I see you have what's called the Wheel of Fortune opening up. It's unusual to see the arrangement of cards you have, but it is this is your 5-year period in which pretty much anything you want is yours. Money isn't going to be a problem. You're going to make good money. You have a grandfather who passed away. Do you remember him at all?
Yes, I remember both of them, but was a long time ago.
Right, but this one is your mom's father. Do you remember him at all?
I think he died when I was 9.
Okay, because he's 41. The one who would really like you to, you know, get all the licenses you can and do
mm-hmm.
it. Again, buckling down and studying for it is important, because it is a hard test. It isn't going to make a difference in the next year or two of your life. But,
okay.
So you don't have to do it immediately, but it does look like eventually you might end up doing it. I'm not sure why. Are you afraid of the test? Because it does imply studying, because it looks like you have to study. This is not an easy test.
Oh, no. It's other than the financial planner, it's like it's a Series 65. So compared to it's not as hard as the Series
7.
As the financial planning one, but it's
right.
Yeah, it's up there.
Okay, because
no formal education in this.
Okay, well, that's actually pretty good, because it doesn't really matter, because most jobs we
right.
learn on the job anyway. And the
yep.
way that the economy is right now, for a lot of people, I'm saying, look, if you can make a living without going back to school right now, you'd be better off, because, you know, you're making money while you're learning. And unless
right.
you need a specific, you know, license, you have to be, you know, to be a doctor or something, you know, you really need that piece of paper.
Sure.
If you can do a job without that, you'll be fine. It looks like in the future, though, because you might be offered something else, or you might be seeking another position that it could be important for. So while you are working for someone who you need to be sponsored for this test, is one of those that you have to be sponsored for?
No, not necessarily, no.
Okay, good. So, but it looks like you would, it would be helpful in the future. It doesn't look mandatory, like you have to do it. But money looks very good here. And again, don't let your lack of education supposedly get in your way, because really once you're over the certain age, nobody really cares if you've gone to college, you didn't go. I mean, I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Theater. I'm 58 years old. I don't remember the last time anyone asked me if I went to college. I don't think anybody cares. You know what I mean? So unless you really need it, and maybe you could take a few courses in the future, but it looks like that isn't going to be necessary. It's very good. It's a very good 5-year period, and money looks really pretty good for you. Are you practicing the laws of attraction in which you see yourself successful?
Oh, absolutely. I have. A while back, I do some auto writing and things like that, and I got a unbelievable affirmation that I do every morning and so forth in regards to the gratitude of what I have and blessed for what I of the amount that I perceive myself having. So absolutely.
Okay, and again, you called in to get some answers from us, but your spirit guides also like that you brought up automatic writing, because a lot of people, they don't know about a lot of this stuff when they call into the show. And automatic writing is actually a gift, the ability to just get a message through automatic writing. Many writers have done that. Their whole books have been channeled that way. And it's important that you realize you do have that gift. So your spirit guides are saying once in a while, sit with us quietly and write. If you could do that maybe once a week, just see what they might have to say. Because it's really a gift. You really are very gifted with that. Most people don't have the gift of automatic writing. They can't just sit there and something comes through their hand. So
yeah, it was pretty interesting in regards to, I figured out this whole protection thing.
because you got a little scared because all the big drunks of the world or all the Hitlers of the world were trying to come through you. I know that.
I mean, the dog was freaking out.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like the Ouija board.
If
you're not like blocking out, uh-huh. But I will tell you this, once you begin to realize the good powers of the world are greater than the evil, you never have to fear even if they try to come near you, because they're afraid. They're more afraid of your goodness than you could ever be of their evil. Goodness scares the hell out of them. So the point is, you're a good person. It was good to realize you do have to protect yourself and because you don't spend much time sort of honing your psychic abilities, it gets a little more scary than someone who, my life is this, so I'm more in control of like what comes in and what doesn't. But even if, you occasionally get somebody you didn't want in, you could just write back in response, good powers of the world greater than the evil, and they'll leave.
Gotcha. And I have been taking development for the past 6 months now. So it's been interesting with that world and the business world. It's kind of,
they're actually one and the same, because whatever you want to manifest will manifest. And, money is neither good nor bad. It's what you do with it. And God needs good financial planners who aren't going to rip off people. So it's a very noble profession if you do it well and you make people's lives better because you help them manage their money, make money. It's great. It's healing. Most families have fallen apart because of economics. When their families were happy until the father was out of work, or someone lost a lot of money in the stock market, or some financial ruin came. So all of us have to understand that money can really either make or break relationships. So if you can be a person who really helps people plan better, keep their relationships more stable, it's a very, very, very noble profession. So look at it as your way of healing the universe.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And good luck to you, and let us know how your everything manifests.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Nicole, didn't you like his energy? Didn't he have a great voice? Wouldn't you buy anything he was selling?
What's that?
Wouldn't you buy anything he was selling?
We could probably set the monkey back its own shit.
Right. He was really cute. And I like to get all different kinds of people calling in with their different worlds that they live in because, you know, we're all, you know, a lot of people don't know about different professions and different things. And, you know, sometimes we all judge our profession. When I used to be a children's entertainer, I once thought I fell so short of what I could have accomplished. And then I heard the voice of Jesus say, Google in the New Testament where I was the most. So I said, okay, where was Jesus the most in the New Testament? It was at parties, and I was a children's entertainer at parties. And Jesus loved parties because people were relaxed and happy. I mean, his first miracle was water to wine. So if we're in whatever profession we're in could be very noble.
Absolutely.
So I see you've done some screening. So, you know, maybe you can share with us who our next caller will be.
All right, well, actually, we're going to go over to, we're going to actually visit our hometown. We're going to go to Long Island, New York right now, and we're going to Denise, and she just wants to know if, you know, what's coming up in 2012, Cindy.
Okay, so we're on Long Island. Hooray.
Yeah,
okay.
We're on Long Island. Hello, Denise, you're on the air.
Hello, Denise. Is she, did it get disconnected?
You know what, Cindy? Do me a favor.
Uh-huh.
On your board, are you seeing where I am?
Is it a 220 number, right? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Let me hit her mic on because when I hit her mic, it turned off.
Okay. Is it on now?
I don't have a button anymore.
You know what? It looks.
Hi,
Denise.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi,
there. Cindy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm glad we didn't disconnect you because we're operating from two different computers, and I'm not supposed to be able to do what I'm doing on mine. I don't know how I can do it because we're only supposed to have one host, but for some reason it allows me on my computer to be a double host. So I was able
to... Actually, I just tell you something. I hit Denise's mic on, and the entire button disappeared on me, and then we couldn't hear her. You hit the button on, and then we could hear her. Her mic just reappeared as soon as she spoke.
Wow. I know. Well, this system has a few bugs in it, but we love it. We love you, Blog Talk Radio. Anyway, Denise, you want to know what 2012 holds for you?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just shuffle. For numerology, what's your birth date, the month, the day, and the year?
February 3rd, 1959.
Okay, you do have a birthday. You're coming up. Okay, that's what I was... All right, because, you know, you have a grandma who passed away who said happy birthday, so I was wondering when your birthday was, too.
Okay,
so we have our birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday. Good time for
Thank
a reading.
You.
You actually have a year in which you can expect to make decent money. Are you happy with what you're doing for a career?
Yes and no.
Okay, because it looks as if this career could lead somewhere else. You might have another career in the next few years. Would you want that?
Yes.
Okay, because it's definitely you coming into your own and figuring out what you want to be doing. It's building on the skills you have. It's not like it's entirely different, but if you stay in the job you have, you're going to have a kind of budgeting of money for a long time.
Okay.
If you make this switch, it's really good money. This it looks like a job that you could either start yourself a little, a business of your own, or even just more of an independent contractor of some sort, but the money would be better. There is a nice soulmate relationship in the future. Do you have a relationship now?
No, I'm divorced.
Okay, good. Because I know that was hard for you, the divorce, but this is a nice relationship coming.
Okay.
And there's some big, major changes in your life. Are you ready for the major changes?
Oh, yes. I've been waiting a long time.
Okay, because these are really, really big changes. And all good changes. You're a mom?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because you need to stop worrying so much about the kids, too. It's like the universe is asking you to say a prayer. Pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself.
Yes.
This is about you now. You know, you're a little bit younger than me, but you're pretty much in the same generation as I am.
Mm-hmm.
We've raised a pretty bunch of narcissistic kids, whether we meant to or not. And
exactly.
It's time for them to sort of grow up. They're not entitled for us to support them forever.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, kind of concentrating on you a little bit. Your dad has passed away?
No.
Because is your father-in-law's father gone?
Your
ex-husband's father gone?
Yeah, he's been gone, oh, God. I want to say about 28 years.
Yeah, because he's the grandfather that watches over them, your kids.
Really?
And he's saying, let us up here watch over your kids a little bit, and you watch over you. You know, you showed them something good. If you leave something bad, you get something better.
Right.
You know, I mean, you could get something better, but you haven't yet gotten to them. You've left something bad, but you haven't gotten to that better part. Do you want to show them a better relationship?
Yes.
Okay, because that's here. So, I mean, even your job switching and all of that may have something to do with where you'll meet this person.
Okay.
But the
you know
actual,
what kind of job?
Excuse me?
You know what kind of job that I'd be switching to?
What are you doing right now?
I work with special ed children.
Okay. Again, you've got a lot of good karma surrounding you from doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it's something a little bit different even from that now.
Okay.
And it's actually a new career. Are you wanting a change now?
Yes. I only took the job because to be with my children when they came home from school. And now that they're older, they're 24 and 20, you know, now it's time to, you know, get something else.
Right. And that's well. And that's what I see going on here, that you really need to figure out what you want to be doing, because this is a fun career. I mean, it's not, you know, you've done a very good job at what you've done, but it's, you know, mostly we're going to have 2 to 5 distinct careers. That's what's been channeled to me. So
okay.
You need that other career coming. You know, you're a person who doesn't know a lot of your skills. You have a lot of undeveloped skills here.
Mm-hmm.
So keep looking, even just apply for things that seem fun or interesting to you. Do you have any ideas what you would want to be doing?
I wanted to get into doing sonograms.
Okay. Have you gone back to school for that?
No, not yet.
Okay, because that's what it looks like. You know, you could definitely, you know, go back to school and make good money with this new career. And, again, think about how you're going to do this, how you're going to make it manifest, but it definitely is a new career. The career you have looks like it's pretty much over. The sonogram, you could be an independent contractor, pretty much going to different doctor's offices or doing what you want, but it looks very promising. Love is in the horizon. Your kids actually look like they're pretty good kids.
Yes, overall they are.
You know, you don't have to worry about them too much, but this is a very, very good year ahead for you. So,
when will I meet that person? Do you know when?
Are you doing anything to meet somebody?
No.
Okay, we got to address that issue. You know, I had one client, you know, adamantly mad at me because, you know, when I said to her, what are you doing to manifest love? And she said, hoping, wishing, praying. I said, hoping, wishing, praying isn't going to do it. God says God helps those who help themselves. Enough with the prayer. God needs, you know, us to go out. I mean, he can't airdrop your lover onto the couch while you're watching TV. You know,
That's what my friends tell me.
And it's really true. I mean, sometimes, okay, there are stories where the soulmates are delivered to the doorstep. I have one client who I said, and I did tell her, your soulmate's going to be delivered to your doorstep. And what happened was her landscaper died. He was this really old man.
Uh-huh.
And the guy who was the landscaper down the block, one of the neighbors said, why don't you knock on this woman's door? She needs a new landscaper. And lo and behold, he became her husband later on. So, I mean,
wow.
Once in a while they do knock on the door. But mostly we have to get out. And it's not necessarily going to, you know, where you're going out just to meet someone. But if you go to a lecture, you go to some of the events given at local libraries, it's a way of expanding friends. You can meet a new girlfriend, and through her, you meet this guy. And even when the weather gets warmer on Long Island, there's a lot of nice single events, walking on the boardwalk or something. Maybe you don't meet the guy there, but, you know, you could. But you could also meet some friends.
Exactly.
You know, you do, and even if you just then stumble upon the guy when you're sitting in the doctor's office, it doesn't mean that you wouldn't have met him necessarily that way. But the universe almost needs to see that you really do want love. If we're sitting on the couch, the universe says, "I don't think she really wants love," because love changes everything.
Yes.
So a little bit of, you know, you've been hurt. I know you were hurt. I could see in these cards. You know, I don't think you expected your marriage to go the way it went.
No, he was very abusive.
Okay, and that makes us all afraid. You know, if we've been abused, you know, in a relationship, we get afraid. But we have to, you know, come to get away from victim consciousness. No one can abuse us unless we allow them to do it. And believe me, I've allowed plenty of people to abuse me, so I'm not judging you by any means. But you know what I'm saying? The point is, I've had to acknowledge, why do I make so many excuses for abuse? Why do I tolerate so much crap? Mm-hmm. And, you know, really coming to realize that we believed we could fix somebody, we believed we could rescue them. We didn't even know that we signed on for the prince that became the beast. We were too young to realize who they were. But you're older and wiser, and you certainly wouldn't pick that kind of man again.
No, wouldn't go down that.
And even if you met somebody and, you know, after like a week he proves to be an idiot, it's a week. It's not a year. It's not 10 years or 20 years. You know, it's just fun to realize, oh, God, I figured out that asshole in an hour. I mean, that's actually pretty liberating to realize, even if a bad man or a man who's not good or manipulative is brought in our horizon, it doesn't mean we're going to be hurt by that person.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, I've spoken to, like, old boyfriends from the past that I've got reconnected with, and one in particular is divorced, and, you know, he turned out to be not the same person that I knew years ago, and I picked him out right away knowing that he had a lot of issues and a lot of problems, and I said, mm-mm.
And that was the only reason the universe let you see that, so that you could say, I see someone who needs fixing. It's not my job to fix. And what you didn't learn from your husband, you was reinforced by this man. Now you learned you cannot fix people. And, you know, sometimes if we don't get that man asked similar to the one we've left, we don't really learn the full lesson because we didn't analyze it. But very quickly you saw, look, he's got the same sort of issues. Maybe he's not as mean or abusive as my husband, but he's unhealed. He's damaged. I can't fix him. I don't want to be mommy to a boy again.
Exactly.
And you moved on. So that was a good experience. I'm not seeing, Denise, don't look back. Look forward. This isn't a guy you've met already. You know, no looking back. There's a reason it didn't work that time. You know, and go forward. And really, you have a wonderful year ahead. Try to go back to school because it could even be very much linked to someone you're going to meet through going back to school. Or, you know, just get your world bigger because it doesn't look like the job you have now you're going to meet much of anybody.
No, not in the school.
No. And so call in and let us know in the future what happens because we'll be rooting for you.
Okay, thank you.
And thanks so much for sharing your story with us. Sure, go ahead.
I have one more question. My children, how are things going to turn out for them?
They actually look like very good children, but again, they're going to have to relive your marriage, the one they saw growing up, which is not such good news. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll pick the people that need fixing and try to prove you wrong. For the most important thing for you is to just concentrate on you reinventing yourself and you getting a better life, because that's what they need to see. You know, they're pretty good kids. There's no disasters here. They're going to find their way. But, you know, the best example you could show is how, you know, you get a better life and that we're never too old to get that second chance.
Right, right.
So if you're really worrying about them, the best thing is to make your life better.
Definitely.
Because it's not, you know, if you're going to sit home alone and never meet anybody else, some people are just not strong enough to be alone their whole life. That's the kind of child that's going to end up staying in a destructive relationship their whole life because they just don't want to be alone at one point.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Exactly. It takes a lot of courage to be alone. A lot of people can't do that. So you want to just show, look, if you leave something bad, there is an alternative. There's something better.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's, you know, we've all relived our parents' mess. We've all relived dysfunctional relationships. And the only way of ever ending it is by showing our children there is a better role model called soulmates, and they really do work at that relationship. So you being that beacon of light for your children with your soulmate would be probably the best thing you could ever do for them.
That's why I left their father when they were young. They were 7 and 10. You know, I didn't want them. You know, I saw it was affecting my son, and it was time for me to leave.
Right, and again, but unfortunately, they relived the marriage they saw before the age of 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that's why when you see these things happening, you could say, oh, now you could see why I couldn't fix your father, or now you could see why I fell for the prince that became the beast. We don't see everybody's colors and why it took me so long to leave.
Right.
But if you don't show them something better and you really haven't shown them that yet,
right?
Just visualize, most people don't want to be alone forever.
Right, no.
You know,
no,
they just
I don't.
So, and that's why this is coming. They're basically good kids, though. I mean, I don't see any major problems here with them. You know, it's just a little bit, you know, we have to undo some of the damage we've taught. I mean, we didn't do it on purpose. You know, we didn't set out to...
I have a lot of guilt about that.
Well, again, we didn't start out to destroy our children's psyche. That wasn't our, you know,
mm-hmm.
our role. But, again... visualize that they have their father, because they might as well learn sooner than later that God never taught honor your father no matter what. The men who were creepy and liars and cheaters and wife beaters made up those rules. So you might as well learn. People lie and they lie a lot. People manipulate. It's not the worst thing. They chose you as the mom. You're the good news. They had lessons to learn from their dad. And, you know, they chose this set of parents. So they could have chosen other ones. They had lessons to learn. So no more guilt about that, you know. And only
yeah,
one
is not in their lives.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God. He may resurface, though.
Oh, geez.
So, you know, he's the kind of person, he's like, you know, the alien at the end of the movie. You thought you killed him and he comes back.
Yes. I've been through that.
Yeah, so I see one last hurrah for him before he's on his way out. But
come
again,
back to bother me or?
To your children a little bit, but they have some lessons to learn too. They may need to see why you left their father. And, you know, just trust in if he resurfaces, there's lessons, and don't feel guilty about him. No more guilt.
Okay.
You know, your intention in marrying that man was not to hurt your children.
Definitely,
you know,
not.
You thought you was love, and then it went in another direction. When our children push our guilt buttons, we can't help them, because every parent has done something that wasn't perfect.
Right.
And until we realize we're good enough parents, that's all we have to be. We don't help them by letting them manipulate us.
Yes.
So, you know, at this point, you say, knock it off. They're old enough to say, knock it off. I did the best I could. Knock it off.
Right.
You know, start your own life, find your own way,
right.
And, you know, stop blaming me, because, you know, their father was a blamer. He blamed everybody else. It was never his fault. You don't want to teach people to blame others.
Exactly. You know, I chose not to go out when they were little, and, you know, I chose to dedicate my life to my children, you know, because they needed one good parent to be with them and show them the way. And, you know, I don't have any regrets with that. You know, I would do it all over again.
And, again, it's hard when you're a mom, a young mom, sometimes, because we don't know the men, or even as a woman, what women, you might bring into the house if you're a lesbian. You're not sure, so you want to protect your kids. And because your judgment of your husband was so poor, I'm sure you didn't trust that you might bring somebody bad near your children. You were very protective of them, and that's greatly appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, now is the time to show you that, you know, the greatest love affairs are happening to women 50 and over. So, you know, just let it happen. Let it be.
Yeah. I know. A lot of my friends tell me to go on the dating sites, and I'm not comfortable with that.
Okay. Again, if you're not comfortable, don't do it. You could do it for fun. And, again, I tell people to screen it very carefully, because there's a lot of sex addicts and a lot of people who...
Yeah.
Just looking, you know, to have fun and games. And, you know, you could screen them out pretty quickly. But, again, if you're not comfortable with it, it's probably not the best route to go. I don't have any personal experience with it, so I can't really say from my own personal experience. I could tell I've had clients who have met very good people, and I've met people who have met not such good people. But, again, that's life, too. So,
right.
You know, what you're comfortable with, but you do just get out there a little bit.
Definitely.
And the single events sometimes are fun. You know, you could just go out there, just not with the, you know, I have to find somebody tonight, but that you want to have a good time.
Right, just to get out and just to live.
Mingle, meet, talk, and feel comfortable going out is important. And whether you meet somebody that night doesn't make it a failure.
Exactly. If it happens,
because if you, if you're going out, like if you think, oh, I got to meet somebody tonight, it's like going to an execution. It's either do or die today.
Right.
And I don't see that for you. I see, you know, love coming.
Okay, good.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Nicole, you've been screening very, very, very much tonight. I see a lot of things screened here, so.
I've got a lot of stuff going on for you, Cindy, and I don't know if your clock is working, but we've got about 25
minutes. No, mine is not
left.
Working. Are you kidding me? Nothing on my clock. You know what? Do you know on Facebook, every week it puts that the show's on 3 a.m. on Friday, and I have to go in and correct it every Wednesday or so to say, no, it's Thursday at 7. So I don't know what's with that either. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea why it makes this mistake. And, of course, if I had any time in my life, it's probably a two-minute email to figure out. But, you know, every week I say, this week I'm going to ask them why.
Oh, dear Lord. So you'll have to make time, Cindy.
I know, for sure.
All right. All right, well, we are going to go, and we are going to move on, and we are going to speak to Rachel right now, and she is over in California. And right now she does not have a job, and she doesn't have a man. And she wants to know, Cindy, which one is coming first? And if you know which one is coming first, when might she expect this? So I'm hoping that Rachel hears some good news from you tonight. So.
Oh, of course.
Hello, Rachel. You're on the air.
Hi, Rachel. I
Cindy.
Am eagerly looking for a career position. And second, I'm hoping that a man is not too far behind.
Okay.
So do you see either one coming
from? And, you know, those are very good because only God can bring us to our knees where no man, no job right now, because it's God's way of asking you to choose again. And definitely see a career, a good job coming. Don't take something just to take it, you know, because it looks like you're going to be offered something that you could take, but if you take it, you're going to stay too long in it and not be happy. You really want to get something that you love, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so be a little patient with that. As far as the, you know, and that's definitely coming. It's actually, it looks sooner than later here. With the man, he kind of looks like he goes hand in hand with his job. So, you know, all you're searching, doing, and everything you're doing right now is preparing the way for this man to come. It's a good year ahead of you. You seem to be getting stronger psychologically. Do you notice any strength coming into you?
Oh, thank you for saying that. Absolutely, and I know what you're saying.
And there's a little bit of worrying here because you're a little bit of a what-if-er. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if I don't get a job? What if this? What if that? And I coulda, shoulda, woulda in the past. It's a little bit, you know, stronger now than it would be if you were really set in your life. Just try not to give in to the what-ifing. See yourself with a wonderful job. See yourself with your ideal soulmate. Have you written down what your ideal soulmate would be like? Do you have a vision of that?
I do. I have a list, absolutely.
Okay, good. Because the more that we can see it specifically, the more it could happen. As far as the job goes, it looks like you're going to have to learn something a little bit new. Are you up for that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. And are you getting interviews?
No. Well, actually, I just booked an interview for Wednesday of this week, and it has to do something, I'm not in law, but it has something connected to law, and that interview's on Wednesday. And that's the only interview I have lined up.
Okay, and that actually is a very interesting interview. You should enjoy it. You need to think about between now and then how the skills that you have can translate to that job. Because have you practiced any of your like little sound bites for an interview? Sound bites are, you know, you have like 10 key points or 8 key points you really want to get across in an interview about yourself. You might really need to practice some interviewing skills, even Google online, you know, interview questions, interview things, so you could see some of the questions they might ask.
Okay.
Because it's really hard to answer things if you haven't prepared something.
And
you might find yourself saying stuff you don't want to say, and then you really wanted to tell them about this. You mostly want to show how you've been successful on a job in the past, how you're fast to learn, you know, the skills that you have that translate into that job so that you'll be confident in the interview. Interviewing is very hard. So if you're not prepared, you might not come across as strong as you could. So even, you know, look at interviews as a practice too. So even if you don't get a job, it's just helped you be more comfortable with the interviewing process. So how long have you been unemployed now?
I have been looking for a little over 18 months.
Okay, because that's a long time, and you haven't had interviews in 18 months?
I've had a few, but they were jobs that I really wasn't interested in, and I'm so glad I wasn't offered then.
Good, because, again, we don't want to take something we're not interested in. We want to take something we definitely love and we're interested in. Have you looked at your resume? Is it as strong as it should be?
Yes, I have. I've tweaked it. I've had other people look at it. I want to say that the first year after I left a job, I had a year's worth of healing, emotional healing to do. And I don't think taking a job, though I did pursue it, would have been in my best interest.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, you've had that time to heal, to do your, you know, your inner homework that you needed. And now this is it's a nice career coming. Again, just do yourself a favor. Anybody who's looking for a job out there, go to the library, get some books on interviewing, mostly like books what, you know, they're interviewing for jobs and what people ask, or there's even books about that interviewers get. It would help you to just see they're going to ask certain questions, you know, and most of them, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now? Where do you see yourself in a year? You know, what's your weak point? Now, of course, you're not going to tell them a real weak point. You're going to say, oh, you know, I can just be, you know, when I get into something, I just overdo it. I'm like a perfectionist. I mean, that sounds like a flaw, but of course it's not. You know, you're not going to tell them you're real, well, I'm never on time. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You want to make sure that anything that they ask you, you put a positive slant on it. So a little bit of working on your interview skills. Everything looks like this is a good year for you. Psychologically stronger, that was important. The healing is here, and move forward. And a little bit more self-confidence would help here. Are you working on that? Have you worked on your self-esteem?
You know, after trying to heal for a year, it's coming back.
Good. Good.
Yes.
And again, love yourself the way you would love your own daughter. You know, when you're speaking about yourself in an interview, it's not so much that we're marketing ourselves. It's very difficult for people to market themselves. You're marketing the skills that you have. So rather than talk about me, 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 you want to talk about your skills and the things you can do. So think about that. And when you're going for your interview, just bring in a lot of your positive energy, because you're very well-spoken and, you know, a job is definitely here and love. But again, you weren't ready for too many changes at once. You were lucky just to kind of stay in one place and heal, because we really do need that time and, you know, get on your knees and thank God you had a year to do that.
Yeah, thank you. And when do you see this all falling into place for me?
It pretty much looks like you're about ready to have life fall into place now. It actually looks like you're going to have a lot of changes very quickly. Sometimes people don't like change, but at this point, you know, there's nothing but change in your life. If you were ready to have your life change tomorrow, it would change. Are you ready for that?
I am.
Okay.
In every way.
Okay, because, you know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden you got a new job, a new man, a new whole life. That's a lot. But, you know, what's our choice? To stay stuck in a miserable place?
Right. See, I've been surviving. I haven't been living. And I want to start living.
Hey, hooray. And that's why I said, don't just take a job for survival. Remember, that was one of the first things your spirit guide said. Don't just take a job because it's a job. You know, it's not about let's survive through life one day at a time. Let's look across an X like we're in prison here. It's, can I live each day to the fullest? And that's what we all need to do. And there's no shortage of work on this planet or things that need doing. And you're supposed to start living now.
I'm ready.
And you notice the difference. Fear keeps us in survival mode. We're just like, oh, my God, I just have to survive. You know, once we get afraid of not surviving because, everything's been taken out from under us and we're still standing, then we learn how to live.
Mm-hmm. May I ask a question on this job interview that I have on Wednesday? It's something that I have applied for. Is that the method that you see me getting a job, or is there another mode? Because I've been using the internet. Do you see me connecting
again
with the job?
The internet? What even the Wall Street Journal addressed recently is that if you're only using the internet to job hunt, you're probably not going to find a job very easily, because most of the jobs aren't anywhere to be listed. You know, sometimes you need to sort of go to human resources, send your resume to places where you want to work, and do a little bit more active job hunting than just the internet. Even it could be looking in newspapers. It could be networking, going to headhunters, a little bit more proactive than just the internet, because for some reason that's not yielding as well as it used to. And I saw it in myself with my clients that have been looking just on the internet. They really weren't getting jobs as quickly. You know, a year, 2 years, they're still looking. So, you know, most jobs are not appearing anywhere because there's so many resumes coming in. So think about that, you know, where you want to be working, and just a little bit more proactive. And are you telling people that you're looking for work?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because sometimes it's just somebody saying, oh, let me take your interview in, your resume in. You know, if you can get somebody to bring your resume into where they work, it's helpful. So, you know, don't be afraid to tell people you're looking.
Okay. Yes, I definitely have been. I'm trying to stay as proactive as possible.
And positive. And, you know, just bring that positive energy in. You know, if we look like winners, people tend to believe that we're winners. You know, when people go into job interviews with a defeated attitude, it's just not good. You know, and I've seen that a lot of people getting negative. You know, they just, another job interview. You know, again, every job interview is a potential job, and just go in there really positive. Again, it's not an execution. If you don't get it, it's not the end of the world. So it looks promising for the one on Wednesday, though. So practice a little bit interview skills.
I will. Thank you so much.
Good luck to you.
All right. Take care. God bless.
Bye. Hi, Nicole. Boy, Nicole, when you're hearing all these interviewing things, Nicole is going to be looking for work. Does it feel like it's your day today? All the little messages for Nicole, because she has a lot of job hunting to do herself. Now, Nicole, I don't know if you've screened someone else. I do see a couple of people. She's probably in the chat room right now because she's not responding to me. So let me see. I'll go here. Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
It's Cindy. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. And you're from Indiana?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I don't think we've ever had an Indiana call.
Yay!
So that makes me so excited. I don't think I've ever known anyone who's ever gone to Indiana. So I'm so happy to hear that there's people in Indiana.
I feel special.
You know, it's wonderful. We get a kick out of finding out who's calling from where. We love it. You know, it's wonderful.
I love your energy. You're just so...
And thank you. So sweet. And today I feel like I'm stumbling over my words because it's been a couple of weeks of nonstop readings, like 11, 12, 13 a day.
I hear you. I'm a reader myself. Yeah.
And it's like I keep squeezing one more person in today. And today I've done nothing but read, shoveled down a turkey sandwich 2 minutes before the show is on, and been running all day. So once in a while I feel like my mind is like... It's a little fatigued, so forgive me if I'm a little tired, but the show had to go on tonight, and my New Year's resolution now is a little less readings and a little more break between. And I have to have clients. Like, I get like 400 emails a day, and people saying, you know, and I tried to squeeze them in for like 2 weeks from a reading from now, and the person said, well, I was hoping for something sooner, and I emailed back, and I think this was divine guidance. You lived your whole life without me. You can wait 2 weeks.
Exactly. But you know what? You're giving people time by coming on air, giving readings. So you know what? God bless you for that.
And you know what it is? Because it's not the greatest economy. I try to, like, I do discounts. I do a lot of readings. If people, you know, aren't working, they come in and say, you pay me when you get a job. So, you know, between the ones, you know, you're just doing and then the ones I need for my own livelihood, it is a lot of readings. But, you know, people do need to hear something going to be moving in a positive direction here.
Right, exactly.
And for you, you were dreaming of?
my ex-fiancé, Michael. I've been having reoccurring dreams of him, actually. And God forbid to do this to you, but I know you're tired.
But, you know, actually, you're the kind of readings I love. Do you know that when two soulmates, and you and Michael were soulmates, it did start out with the heart, soul, mind, body, love. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes.
So all 4 points, connection. But if people don't commit to love and they don't commit to healing, it drags down the ladder of love. It looks like, you know, he ran before it got too destroyed, but the point is you both are still soulmates, and soulmates are very telepathic. They commune with each other. And I learned everything about love because I knew what it was to love a soulmate and couldn't commit to love and ran. And so my soul was very desperate to commune with him, and I found ways. And when we really still long for someone, they come to us in the astral plane in dreams. It's not necessarily truly a dream. It's the soul just leaves the person's body and comes to you. Michael's soul is coming to you. His ego, you know, Michael has this tremendous soul from what I could see. I mean, he's a very evolved person, but his ego is also pretty big. So he's sort of a splintered person. He can be the most loving being, and then he can have that other side.
You're so right.
And, you know, unfortunately, you serve that wonderful soul, and you just love that highly evolved soul, but that ego is like, oh, God. And so, you know what his soul is saying to his ego? The hell with you, Michael. I'm going over to her, and I'm going to spend the night with her, and I'm going to hug her. I mean, what my soulmate would do was come into my dreams and never talk. He would just look at me because he never was able to really communicate.
Well, you want to know? Yeah, but you want to know something? When he comes to me in my dream or whatever, it's really crazy. He's done this for years, right? Because we've been off and on for 15, 16 years now. And when he comes to me in my dream, I know when he's coming back because it dreams in the dream. The same thing that happens in the dream happens in real life.
Right, that's what they do. And you're right, because what they do is the soul comes first to warn you. And your spirit guides want you to be warned because you sort of have to know this is going to happen. And you said 15 years or 16 years. Relationships tend to work in five-year cycles. Now, the closing of 3 5-year cycles, pretty much God is saying, Michael, you shit or get off the pot now. You come to her now, and you either do this, but you're not going to do this running back and forth dance. And what I need for you is to say the prayer, to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. Because you have some of your own fears. And at this point, you need to kind of, he is coming back. I see that in his cards. But it looks like he's still a runner. You know, like, he could come back and run and hurt you. That's why he hasn't come back.
You want to know why he does that? You want to know why he does that? He's only done this to me, and I know this is really crazy to say, but his mother left him when he was 12 years old.
Okay, and that's not crazy to say, because with my soulmate, his mom died when he was 8, and he was never going to love somebody who could abandon him, especially through death. So people with massive fears of abandonment have really trouble loving soulmate love. They really are afraid. And so what you're going to do is realize there's a point in which we say, I had enough. And mine was the 15-year mark. It was like, I had enough. I can't do this anymore. You bring me a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to me and commit to healing. And I gave some specifics. And the very next night, I met TJ, my fiancé, and we're getting married April 22nd.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. But my point is, there's a point where we have more than one soulmate, and there's a point in which we just can't do this anymore. And, you know, I feel bad for him that his mom abandoned him. I feel bad when people die. But knock it off already. This is you here loving him and giving him an opportunity. And all he ever wanted when he was a child was a happy family life. And you could have given that to him, but he's also depriving you of that. And so there's a certain element of narcissism in commitment. It's about them. They don't care how they're hurting other people. And at
yeah,
this point,
and you know what's sad? You know what's sad? He goes for toxic relationships, too, ones that don't care.
No, but toxic relationships have an unconscious contract. No matter what you do or I do, we never abandon each other. Throw acid in my face and I stay. So that's why he goes with that, because it's not a high love. If they do leave, which they, you know, he'll just find another toxic one. It's replaceable. But his real fear is loving you, heart, soul, mind, and body, and what if you die on him?
Oh, my God.
He's afraid of that. So loving brings up the big primal fears. Fears of abandonment, fear of rejection, fear of can I survive without you, can I survive with you. But his level of narcissism is pretty high. He's judged his mother very harshly, and he has a grandmother who loves him very much. Who passed
away. Oh, my gosh, you are like 100% right. His mother loves him more than anything, but his grandma don't like me. I don't know why. She never did.
And basically, because they have their issues.
I feel illness around his grandma, actually. I don't feel
yeah,
she's
well,
doing
I think
so
she's
well.
Actually, I thought she had passed away, because what's going on is she's probably losing her mind now. She could
oh
have
gosh.
Some dementia, because you can talk to any soul living or dead, but to people with Alzheimer's or dementia, talk as if they're dead already when they come through. And basically, you know, all he ever wanted was a happy family life, but he's become his mother. He has abandoned you. You know, if he's judged his mother, why she ran from him in love and the whole bit, well, look what he's done to you.
It hurts so bad.
Of course it does. It hurts so much. And that's why out of five love songs, when you're driving in your car, three about the love that got away. One's Pink singing This Love, I Was Never This Toxic Before You, about toxic love. And one's about soulmates actually making it. And so, you know, it hurts, but you can't be responsible
Can
for
I
his mom.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I had a dream. I got his number in a dream because I'm psychic myself, and the number came to me in a dream very, very strongly. It's crazy to say, but I got the full number.
Wow.
And I was nervous to call because I didn't know who would answer the phone. So my friend Jamie called. Because he's like, you're crazy. It was Michael's number.
Wow.
He started freaking out, like, how the hell did you get my number? Who are you, this and that? I guess he told him that he still loved me, he still cared about me, but being back with me would be like opening a can of worms. And Jamie's like, okay, you know, whatever. I thought they talked on the phone for 45 minutes. And when I went to go call him, he disconnected his phone.
Again, because they can't deal with it. They can't deal with love. And the whole point is that we all have to stop, you know, feeling that we can't love because we've been hurt, we've been
well,
damaged.
I'm pregnant. So by another man, I wasn't happy about it. I mean, everything in life happens for a reason. Do you know what I'm saying?
You're pregnant right now.
Yes.
Well, for you, love that baby. But for that baby's sake, God wants to bring a soulmate to you. And if it's not going to be Michael, then you need for that child to have a good soulmate family, a good loving family. Because we don't want to bring any more children into worlds of dysfunctional love.
Do you know anything about animals? Do you know anything about animals? Because my cat is so freaking attached to me. She lays on my stomach. She follows me wherever I go. Anywhere I go, she's with me, attached to me. 24/7.
And again, because, you know, you have such loving energy as well. Your job is to be the best mom you can be to your child.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if Michael doesn't come to the plate, the universe will bring you another soulmate.
So you do see him coming back, but you see him trying
yeah,
to...
Yeah, he's thinking about, you know, well, he's the person who'll come back and run again, it looks like. You might need to have the dance one more time to realize...
Well,
you know what
I'm going to do this time, Cindy, and I know this is crazy to say. And he comes back, I'm going to make his ass marry me because I was the first girl he was ever supposed to marry.
Well,
I'm
you
serious.
Need to call us and I want to hear about you me getting that ass to marry you because, you know what, I mean, I'm right here rooting. You want me to get the shotgun? I don't care he isn't the father of that baby. I'll get that shotgun on him, too.
Do you think he would accept it, though? You think he'd accept it? Because he loves children very much.
And
he really does.
And you know what? That's for you. You know, he's all they ever wanted was a happy family life.
You're right. That's all he wants.
And just give it some time. Start praying for that soulmate who's ready, willing, able to love and commit. Eat well. Get a lot of sleep. And,
oh, my gosh. You talk about sleep. I feel like I'm sleeping 24/7. I got a time for myself.
Well, that's okay because the babies grow when you're sleeping. And, you know, your little child to be is very excited for you to be mom, but would like a really good dad. Not the one that fathered it, by the way.
Can I ask you a question, though?
No.
Sure. Hell no. Don't even talk about him, because honestly, he's spiritual like me. He's psychic like me. But let me tell you something. He's not in the same as me. He practices other stuff that I did not know about until it happened. I mean, he practices the laws of attraction, but he told me he was into spells, and it scared the crap out of me because I'm with the light.
Wow.
I'm with the
light. Don't worry about his spells, because they're not very powerful. They're not very powerful, so don't worry about his spells.
Well, they got to be some kind of powerful, because he told me he wanted a baby before we even had one.
Well, that will happen from sex with a spell or not a spell, so.
Well, he had three kids. He had three kids already, so what the hell was I thinking? He was just so cute. You know, I couldn't help myself.
Well, at least you give me a baby good looks. You know what
I
mean?
Right.
You give him the gift of good looks. That's what I say. Well, anyway, I'm sorry that we're running out of time, and I just want to say good night to everybody. Call in again, Michelle. Let us know what happens.
Thank you. You see it by his birthday? He's going to be contacting me March 6th, because that's what I keep feeling.
Yeah, it looks very soon, actually. It looks like when the weather starts getting warm. So we've been warm here in New York, so it's getting harder for me to ask.
I'm going to make his ass marry me. I'm going to make sure I call and tell you that.
Oh, please, please. We'll say our prayers for you. And
thank you. God bless.
You're going to be a wonderful mother.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, Nicole, I just want to say shout out to Nicole for doing a super duper duper job.
Well, thank you.
It's amazing that we had such interesting callers tonight, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And just so you know, I did hear what you were saying before. I just couldn't turn my mic back on, because when I tried to turn it on, my button went away.
That's okay. I figured you were hearing that this show was a lot about people looking for jobs, careers. I just said, isn't that funny?
What's kind of funny is that one of the things that I was freelancing at, you know, kind of on the side, in addition to doing the stores or whatever, actually came through today, where I'm getting, you know, countless, emails. And I think that I might have even mentioned it on the show. I said that I had like an alternate company, you know, a freelance company with that I was working, you know, in the music business with. SM Productions. Well, a couple of artists have been approaching me, but I just have not had the time. And ironically enough, one of the artists hit me up, and he's like, "Hey, listen," he goes, "I'm way in over my head, and we need to make a deal." And you know, I started actually working on that this afternoon. So I thought that it was a very, very good piece of validation for me, because you know, I was only looking for a job on the internet, of course, with what time do I have? So the internet was the only thing that was at my access, you know, for a while. And now all of a sudden, now that I've gotten away from looking for, you know, your standard 9-to-5, you know, things keep coming into my lap. So, you know, I'm just going to thank the universe for that. And hopefully whatever I'm meant to do is going to make itself known.
Right. And that's what I keep telling people. Don't just look on the internet, because but it's just not yielding. I have people that have been doing that for 2 years and they haven't found a job.
Well, here's the thing, though, Cindy. You said something very, very important, and I don't even know if you realized how relevant it was to people that are listening that may be in that position. When you were talking to one of the callers earlier, you had said, and you know, and this is as near a direct quote as I can possibly give you, you had said that you've got a lot of skills that you don't even know of yet. You know, so, and you've got a lot of skills like basically telling that she did not know what she was capable of.
Exactly.
And for people that are out there looking for jobs, just because you have been a secretary all your life, just because you have been in sales all your life, don't be afraid to find something outside of the scope that you're the most comfortable with. Because it's not the most comfortable does not mean that you're not meant to be there. You know, like, I'm multifaceted. You know, I'm good in sales. I'm good in you know, several different outlets. But I'm not letting a 9-to-5 label, you know, affect what I'm going to do for a living. I'm going to make money however I could make money. And if I've got to grow my own business out of it, I will. If something falls into my lap where I don't have to grow my own business and it's what I want to do and what I love to do and it's something that I physically can do, then I'm going to go for that. But when you're looking for a job, don't stay within your little scope of, oh, no, well, you know, I'm a salesman or, you know, oh, no, I'm a secretary. I don't know anything else. You know a lot of other things.
You might not know your skills. And I always tell the story. When I was 39, if someone told me I was going to be a psychic medium when I was in my 40s, I would have laughed my ass off. I would have said,
you know,
you're out of your mind.
My friend Lorraine was like that, you know. Like, you know, she was a homebody, you know, and this and that and everything else. You know, she raised her kids and everything. And when she was faced with that, you know, with you know, losing her, like, smaller part-time job, and I think that she was, you know, like a receptionist in a doctor's office or something, she went out looking for receptionist jobs. You know, and that's all that was out there. She was just receptionist. That's all I know how to do. It's all I know how to do. And you know what? She came to the conclusion that she knew how to do other stuff. What did she do every day when she got home when she was with her son? She was cleaning her house. So what did she do? She got her own cleaning business. You know, she started out small. She grew it up. She began hiring people. She got bonded and insured and all that kind of stuff. And now she does most of the office buildings on Long Island, making a very, very good living. And this was somebody who said, I can't do anything but take messages and answer a phone and do some filing.
Yeah, for minimum wage. For minimum wage, and now look at her.
Exactly. You know, so just because you think you're not qualified doesn't mean that you're not. So don't be afraid to take a chance on that job that you think you'll never get, because you'll never know. You just might.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, good luck to everybody. And thanks so much for all our listeners. And please call in again. We love to hear from you.
Take care, Cindy. Good
Bye.
Night. And great as always.
Bye.